That song, What a Blessed Assurance to Know I'm His and He's Mine. It also talked about what a sweet consolation. You know, we can have some times where we need Him to prove Himself to us. It was just a couple weeks ago, I wasn't able to come. Best I could do was get around with a walker at home. You know, it made me realize how fragile life is. It said our life is just a vapor. That talks about it completely ending. But our life is also like a little thread. We can feel like we're so healthy, everything going well. And just small things can get us. I'm hearing recently about a tick bite that you can get that can cause you to have a long time to be able to recover. It said you may not be able to eat red meat for 2 years. I hope I never get that tick bite. But I was thinking, you know what? Just small things, a mosquito bite. We seem to be so healthy, but just small things can stop our life, can shut us down for a while. What a sweet consolation to know that God is in control of our life. I'm thankful for that. What I want to share with you today, I've been thinking about it through the week. Jesus came with a ministry that was focused on the Jews. His message was to the Jews, and I want to look at some things today. In 10 and 5 of Matthew, even when he sent his disciples out, he sent them out with a mission. And here's what he said. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and to any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So his message when he first started his ministry was focused. I want to be able to reach to the Jews. You remember when he met the woman from Cana that came to him and said, would you please look down in mercy upon my daughter? At that point, he was saying, I'm just sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I want to tell you something. I am so glad that his mission did not end there, that his focus was just to the Jews. He had a short ministry, but his ministry was to try to reach his people. And you remember after, as his ministry was closing down, and he comes into the city and he looks over the city and he begins to weep. And he says, how often I would have gathered you together as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and you would not. His focus in that amount of time was he was trying to reach the Jews. But then I thought, you know, there came a time, he knew it. He knew it was coming, that it would be spread, it would be available to the Gentiles. Gentile is someone who is not a Jew. And it was coming. You remember when Peter said he was getting hungry? He had a vision, and in that vision came a sheep with a lot of animals that they were not supposed to eat. It came down, and the angel spoke to him and said, slay and eat. He said, oh, no, I have not eaten things that are common or unclean. And he said, what God hath cleansed, don't call common or unclean. He had a message. He had a direction that he was about to send Peter. This is in Acts, the 10th chapter. And he does this three times. And then the angel tells him, said, there's someone coming, and I want you to just go with them. I want to look at something in that. Because there came a time where it started reaching out to others, and I am so thankful today that it did. In 34 and 35, it says, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. I am so glad for that. That it reached out to where it's available for every person. And there was something in the 9th chapter of Acts. You remember where Jesus is talking about Saul, soon to become Paul. He's got a message for him when he's talking to Cornelius in 9 and 15. The Lord said, this is to Cornelius, go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So I look at this message that Jesus had. It's going to spread to the Gentiles, the people that Jesus himself was not focusing on. He was trying to reach his own people. But now it's available to others. And Paul, you remember Paul's desire was when he started out? He says in the 10th chapter and in the first verse of, let's see, it's in Romans 10 and 1. He had a desire, Paul did. Romans in the 10th chapter and 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they'd be saved. You know, his desire was, I want to be able to reach God's people, the Jews. You remember how many of those came against him? And there came a place where they sought counsel. They were going to try to kill Paul. And it says it came to a place where he said, okay, I'm going to now turn my focus toward the Gentiles, making it available to them. You know what? We read books of Paul's letters to the Gentiles. The Corinthians, the Galatians, the Ephesians, those books were written to them. And I think about that. A lot of those Gentiles, those people, had no knowledge of what the Jews knew. You know, the Jews that Jesus came to had a knowledge of the things that God required of them. And in many ways, they followed those step by step. But when Jesus came, he said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. And he said, you know where the law says this, I'm saying if down inside your heart you have hatred toward your brother. He was bringing it down to a closer relationship than even the law itself had given. You know, the Gentile people didn't know much about that. So when Paul comes to them, he starts ministering to them and telling them, here's some things that God is requiring. Remember whenever he went into Athens, in Acts, the 17th chapter, and in the 16th verse, you know, he deals different with these people than he did the Jews that had a knowledge about Jesus. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. And so his focus is, how do I turn their attention back to the true God that they don't even know anything about? And in the 23rd verse, it says, as I passed by and I beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. So Paul takes a chance as he comes into a place that doesn't know anything about the Jewish religion, doesn't know anything maybe about the Ten Commandments, but he comes in here and he sees an opportunity to be able to start working with them. And he does it by seeing this. We're worshiping all these other things. And just in case we have missed one, we're going to also pray to this unknown God. And he said, this is who I want to reveal to you. What I'm interested today is to look back. There was a verse that says, such were some of you. This is a part of the scripture that came to my mind this week. Such were some of you, but a change came about. And as I heard this Sunday school lesson this morning, I thought, uh-oh, there goes my message right there. Talking about a change that can come about in a person's life. That's what Paul was trying to get out to these, to the Gentile people that had no knowledge much of God. And he's wanting to talk to them about a change that can come. So here over in Ephesians, the second chapter, this verse was read in Sunday school this morning. And you hath he quickened. He's talking to the Ephesian Christians, those who have given their heart to God. Maybe they don't have a whole lot of knowledge yet, but he's working with them. You hath he quickened. He's made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. So back in the back, this is who you used to be. According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. You know, he brings this in that to all of us, in some way, we were tainted with this. You know what? We all needed salvation. But God, who is rich in mercy, For his great love wherewith he hath loved us, by grace we're saved. I am thankful for that. But this was the message that he was trying to give to them. God cares about you. He wants to be able to make a change in them. And I thought this of a song that we sing. I was a captive, but mercy released me. I was in bondage, but now I can see. I was in darkness, but now I can see. Over the mountain where lonely I wandered, Jesus, my Savior, came looking for me. You know, sometimes I think it is good to look back. You know, it says, remember Lot's wife. It was a wrong thing for her to look back because her desires went back to those things. But I think sometimes as a Christian this time, it's good for us to look back to where the Lord has brought us from, who we were and who we could be today had we not had salvation come to our house. Jesus, my Savior, came looking for me. And the verse that I want to look at is in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Because we look at Paul working with people that didn't have all the knowledge that the Jews had. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? You know, to the Gentiles and to us today, anytime there's a scripture in the Bible that says, I want you to know something. These things will cause you not to inherit the kingdom of God. I want to perk up. And here he's talking to them, maybe not too much knowledge that they have of what God requires. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, extortioners. Here's a long list. They won't inherit the kingdom of God. And here he's talking to Gentile people. And look what he says. And such were some of you. You know, as he's telling them then, this, these people are saved now. They could probably look back and said, oh yes, I was there. But Jesus came and saved my soul. And I am so glad. And look at this. And such were some of you. But I'm glad it didn't end there. But it says, but ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We can look back to the pit that we were in before Jesus came and saved our soul with thanksgiving that he didn't leave us there. Jesus, my Savior, came looking for me. Here's a long list of people. And he even says, and such were some of you. Some of you had these things in your life that would have caused you not to be able to inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but something happened in your life. You are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified. I am thankful for that. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 tells us there's going to be a change come into our life. If any man be in Christ, he is going to be a new creature. Old things are going to be passed away. You know, we might could look at this list of things and check it off. I have not been one of these. But if any man be in Christ, he's going to be a new creature. Old things will pass away. Whatever it was in our life that we needed to be saved from, it can pass away. And all things can become new. And I am very thankful for that. I am very thankful that I can be in the class that says some of this, these kind of things could be some of you, and we could find other things. You know, there's things that the scripture gives us about unforgiveness. You know, I can look at all these lists, covetous, drunkards, and say, I'm clear of that. You remember the Pharisee says two men went up to pray. One's a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee checks his life and he says, I am thankful I am not like other people. I do these things. I do all these things and they're the right kind of things. In fact, I'm not even like this other man over here. You know, maybe I can check off this part of the list and say those are not who I used to be. But I am thankful that God has changed who I used to be. You know, that scripture talks about lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. You know, if the Lord just saved me from a life of bitterness, you know, we can have things happen in our life. We watch people that have things happen in their life that causes them to become bitter. You know what? I am thankful that salvation can help us with those problems, can be able to put us over in the category, but you're washed, you're justified, and I'm very thankful for it. Over in 1 Peter, the second chapter, First Peter 2 and 9, because we keep seeing some of these. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I am thankful that we can be called out of darkness. There's darkness all around us. There's a verse over in Ephesians in the 5th chapter, Ephesians 5 and 5. Here's another little list. This is to the Gentiles that Paul's working with. But fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, unclean person, covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. And these, it just gives a little list. And it said, what's the other verse? But such were some of you, talking to the Gentiles there, that were now saved. Here's just some more of the list that he's telling them. Here's what God's requiring of you. But God is able to make that change in us. You know, it was not just to the Gentiles that Jesus came along to make a change in. But I thought his focus was to the Jews. And I understand it better as I take a look at Paul and his experience. Paul was called out of darkness into Jesus' marvelous light. You remember, we start reading about Paul. There's a place that tells us something about him in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, and in the 5th verse. So Paul has a little list of things that he could check off and say, I'm in a good category here. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisees. See, he wasn't a Gentile that had no knowledge of what was right and wrong of the law. Concerning zeal, he had some zeal. It was persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. This was Paul's credentials, and yet he needed the Lord so much, because look at back when Jesus called for him, Acts 9 and 1. This is Paul with all those credentials. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. And this is where Paul starts on the way to Damascus to cause those to be taken into prison. But you know what? On that road to Damascus, Jesus met up with him. That verse says, such were some of you, but you've been changed. Paul became a changed person just in that little place right there where light shone down on him. I am thankful for the history that we have, that Jesus' mission was to the Jews, but he didn't restrict us there. It says they came to his own received him not. You know, he could have said, okay, the Jews have rejected me. That's who I came for. I'm not going to try for anybody else. He didn't do that. Came to his own. His own received him not. But to as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. It reached out to everyone. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, it's true, Jesus' mission was to try to convince the Jews themselves. But his real mission was that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. So Paul came to a place where he said in Philippians 3, you know, after he really starts seeing some things, he has to start making some decisions. Philippians, the third chapter, and in the 13th verse. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. You know, something that we have got to do with salvation is, as we look at the past, the devil would like to keep bringing up the past of who you used to be. But this one, Paul had some things in the past. You know, it says he caused some to be put to death. Have you ever thought about when he starts ministering now among these places, and he comes to a place that surely he finds a family member that he has caused a family to be separated because of that? He's got to do something. What does he say? This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before. This was his experience, but I think it's also important for our experience. As we look back in the past of what Jesus Christ has saved me from, the person that I could have been today, that I look and I forget those things which are behind, I reach to those things that are out ahead, and here's what I do. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We sang several songs this morning about heaven. I'm wanting to press toward the prize. There's a prize out ahead of us, each one. And I am thankful that I can be in the category. Such were some of you, things that did not please the Lord. But I am glad that word can be in there for each of our lives. But there's been a change coming to my life. There's a song that I hear sometimes. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. So when the devil comes along and he says, but look what you have done in the past, you know what? Those things are covered by the blood of Christ today. And we can be like Paul is right here, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching to those things that are before. I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. 1 Corinthians 15 is another little picture of Paul. You know what? He was very successful in his life. 15 and 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, if the Lord's able to make a change in our life, we heard this morning in the Sunday school class about the change that he made to the man that had so many devils in him. The change that he made, that just in a little bit of time, they found him clothed and in his right mind. And Jesus tells him, just go back to your people and tell them what a change has come about in your life. Just quietly tell them, here's the change that has happened to me. And here's the change that has happened for Paul. By the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace was not bestowed upon me in vain. I am glad that the grace of God has not been bestowed on any of us in vain. What does it say in Titus 2 and 11? The grace of God that appeareth to all men. It's no longer just for the Jews. It's now for Gentiles, which takes in all of us. Grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I am glad that we are able to do that. No matter how much darkness there is around us, we're able to live for the Lord. And here's how it comes about. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, First Peter 1:18. Ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. You know, we cannot buy salvation. We cannot do enough good works to be able to be saved. But it says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Here's what we're redeemed by. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I am thankful today that the blood of Christ is just as strong today as it was back then when it was. Now I'm moving from just giving it to the Jews. I'm going to the Gentiles that have no knowledge of what God requires of them. And then we start seeing the fruits come from it. Paul didn't tell them, yep, you're still living the same way. You're living in all those, what did he say? Such were some of the, I'm glad that's a past tense. That's the way it used to be, but a change has come. A change has come for them. And in 2026, we can still live with a change in our life. And I'm thankful for it. Damon, if you could find the song, All the Praises Should Be Given. Here's a verse, here's what stood out to me. Because we want to be like Paul. The grace that was bestowed upon me, it came from Christ. Paul did not say, I was able to do something on my own. What does it say? By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift that came from God. It is a gift that comes to each one of us. That song says, all the praises should be given to my Jesus. For he's the one who picked me up when I was down all the way. All the praises should be given to my Jesus. He's the one who made me what I am today. And we hear that song that the children sing. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. What does it say? Took him just a week to make those things. So he's still working on me. You know what? He wants to perfect in each one of us. And what I want to do in my own life is say, Lord, lead on in my life. I desire for you to perfect in me those things that are not like you. And he's willing to do that. He's interested in doing that with each one of us. So as we think of that verse, but such were some of you, looking back at the Gentiles, or even in the past in our life, I'm so glad it says, but you're changed. God is able to make a change through his Son, Jesus Christ. If we have that, maybe we can stand and sing that song.